Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Good deeds can be seen, motivations can't. Why we do what we do is a key focus of Christ's teaching in Matthew 6. Why do we do what we do? For the praise of men? The great physician wants to get our service for him back on track. Today, we go to the clinic to get Christ's diagnosis. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a four-part series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer turns to a message about motivations. Join us now for Secret Serving.
So I begin today with a question. Do you love God? Do you love God? By the way, how many of you would say yes to that question? Could I see your hands, please? All right. I hope that that's true of all of us, that we love God. Because God loves us. And Jesus, in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, which is the passage that I invite you to turn to, in Matthew chapter 6, we have been talking about sharing secrets with God. Sharing secrets with God. You'll notice in these messages, we talked about secret giving. When you give your alms in secret. And the Father who sees you will reward you. We've spoken about secret praying. When you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, then you pray. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. And last time we spoke about secret fasting. When you fast, don't tell people about it, but wash your face, look good, go about your normal duties, that it may not appear unto men that you are fasting, because your Father sees it. We've stressed during this series the need to develop those kinds of secrets, things that you do for God. Why in secret? Of course, that doesn't mean that you should just do it in secret. But the reason for the secrecy is to help us with purifying our motives. Because you and I know how powerfully easy it is to do things because other people see us and we like to look good. That is just a part of who we are. God says, why don't you do some things just for me? Just for me. The other thing about secrecy, of course, is it helps keep us on track. It helps to remind us of the fact that there are some things that are very important, and that is who we are on the inside. Because remember, what a man or woman is before God, that is who he or she is, and nothing more. That's all there is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It's the revelation of the heart to God. In fact, in the Old Testament, he says, I've gone from one end of the country to another, looking for someone whose heart is perfect towards me. I'm looking for a good heart, a good heart. Well, today we're going to not do Heart Check America, but we are going to do some searching of our hearts, and we're going to go into God's clinic. And we're going to see how our hearts are. Saw a cartoon this past week of a man who was on his knees praying, and the caption, as I remember it, said something like this: in keeping with the Freedom of Information Act, please show me what you have on me in your file. Well, that's what we'd like to do. In keeping with the Freedom of Information Act, oh God, show us the goods that you've got on us. Let's do a little bit of heart analysis. Let's look at what's going on and let's check where we are and where our loyalties lie. All right, you ready for the tests? Test number one is a test of our affections. A test of our affections. You'll notice that the text says now, and we're in verse 19 of chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In ancient times, there were three different forms of wealth. There was, first of all, clothes. They were very important because clothes, even today in poor countries, have a great deal of importance attached to them. You remember reading the Old Testament, you frequently come across phrases like this in making a deal with somebody. It says, and he gave him two changes of raiment. We may look at that and say, well, why that? We don't exchange suits today or coats or clothes when we make business deals. But in those days, they were a rarity, and to have a good coat was to have something that was valuable. We noticed that when we were in Belarus, how people hang on to their clothes because they can't afford new clothes. And Jesus said, don't put your treasures someplace where moths can get to them. I remember when we were growing up out on the farm there in southern Saskatchewan, Canada, we used to often have people who lived next to us who used to use an awful lot of mothballs. I don't know if you had neighbors like that or not, but we could tell them if the wind was right at a distance of about 20 yards. Well, there was a reason. Now, in those days, they didn't have mothballs. And the moths would go in and they would ruin the clothes. Some of the clothes had very beautiful linings, and the moths would go in and destroy them. There was a second kind of wealth, and that was corn, barns of corn. And Jesus says here, the rust destroys. Actually, the Greek word is that which eats away, and it could be rust. There is also rust on grain, by the way, but very probably Jesus has in mind the mice and the rats, the rodents that go in, and then they take these beautiful barns that might be built, filled with corn and grain, and they eat and they destroy and they disfigure and they make dirty that which you intended to eat. And then there was a third form of wealth, and that was silver or gold, precious metal. And people would take that. They didn't have banks in those days, and they would dig a hole in the tent or wherever it is that they lived in their home, and they would dig a hole there, and that was the safe in those days. And when they were gone, someone would break through the house, that baked clay that was used to build houses, and they would dig in, and they'd dig the treasure, and you'd come back, and it would be gone. Now here's Christ's point. You know what the problem with those kinds of treasures are? It's not wrong to have treasure, but it's the wrong place for them because, number one, it is very temporary. Very temporary. It's here and it's gone tomorrow. It disappears. People steal it. And it gives you a false sense of security. You are not as rich as you think you are because somebody can take your wealth away. And if somebody does not take it away from you, most assuredly you will be taken away from it. Therefore, Jesus said, make a better investment. He says, put your treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. Do something good with it to take it out of the high risk that you have when you have it in this world. In order to understand what this means, let's suppose that all American money, that you and I knew that the American dollar was someday instantly going to be totally devalued and canceled, and the only money that survives is the British pound. Let's suppose that that were the case. And today yet, though, you can get a good rate of exchange. Wouldn't you take your money and you translate it into British pounds and keep only as much American money as you need to live from day to day? Because you don't want too much of this stuff because it is going to be canceled absolutely. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, whenever Jesus talks about money, we begin to get somewhat skittish and a little bit on edge because the topic is, it touches us at a place where we don't like to be touched. But actually, you know, Jesus is doing us a favor. He's saying, hey, look, have good investments, but just invest them in the right places. Put them into heaven where you don't have this erosion of values. And when you have your heart there, your treasure and your heart are going to be in the same place. They're going to be in heaven. You say, well, how do we do that? We do it by giving money. Yes, of course, by giving money. But that's only one way. It's by giving time. It's by giving energy. It's going to Cabrini Green and holding a Bible study. It is ministering to Angel Tree and becoming a prayer partner. I mean, there are so many different ways that we can begin to lay up treasures in heaven. And I remember reading a story about a couple who had a worldwide tour that they were on. Every place that they went, they bought some gifts and they couldn't keep them with them, but they sent them back home. And they were anxious to get home then to see all of the gifts that had accumulated during those months that they were gone. They're treasure begins to get home, because that's where you sent it on ahead. And in the very same way, we think about heaven, and the more we have in heaven, the better off we are, and then we begin to think heavenly. I frequently am asked, probably maybe not every week, but very frequently when we're out with friends, people say, "Are you a grandfather yet?" And I always have to pause a little bit, and I say this very gently and nicely, but I say, Yes, we are grandparents, but our little Sarah is in heaven. You know, when you say that, you begin to realize that the more you have in heaven, the more you look forward to seeing the people whom you loved here on earth, or even, as in our case, someone whom we didn't get to know, your affections begin to be heavenward, because that's where your treasure is. And Jesus is saying, do those kinds of things that have heavenly value. Have lots of treasure, and when the time comes for you to go, it will be easy to go because your treasure is already there. Like the young woman who said, as her dad was dying of cancer, that in the weeks before he died, he spent more time in heaven than he did on earth. Jesus is saying, make good investments. When it comes to money, we believe so many myths. For example, there is the myth that you can't take it with you. Well, most assuredly, you can take it with you. But what you need to do is to transmute it into something else that will be able to bridge the gap between this life and the next. For example, I can't eat money if I'm hungry, so what I need to do is to go to the grocery store, and then I can transmute the money, and it becomes groceries, so that I can then eat my money, so to speak. In the very same way, we need to take our money and turn it into those valuables that will indeed meet us on the other side after we've died. Jesus said, for example, that we should use money to make friends and if we are willing to make friends and help those who are in the process of believing in Jesus, here's what Jesus said. He says, use your money so that they will welcome you into everlasting habitations. What a phrase. What he's really saying is use your money in such a way that someday there will be people in heaven who will come to you and say, because you gave, I was given the opportunity to believe. So of course you've taken your money with you. Of course you can take jewels and you can sell those jewels and you can support orphanages, and you can support missionary work. And if you look at money in that way, why then indeed it will meet you on the other side. Of course, you can take it with you. And so, my friend, I'm leaving you with this challenge. Think to yourself, how much have you invested that you hope to meet? The treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of Secret Serving, his final message on sharing secrets with God. Next time, more about our attitudes and affections. This four-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.